Let's also make confession of faith by means of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now sing in response to God's word and to our confession of faith with Psalter 22 and verse 3. Psalter 22 and verse 3. Bow our heads and our hearts, come before our God in congregational prayer. Great God of heaven, our blessed and caring and all-knowing, faithful Father, O Lord, we delight to be in your house again in this day, the first day of this week, the first day of this new month. In this house of prayer and of praise and of worship, and to also call on your holy name in prayer and with thanksgiving at this time. And O Lord, we are encouraged in you, the Lord our God. We are encouraged by what is revealed to us in your holy word. Lord, that you truly are caring for your beloved people, for your sheep. Lord, you care, your word says, even for the sparrows that are worth only 2 coins. And you care for the ravens. And Lord, if you care for the likes of those, Lord, we know that you care so much the more for us. Oh Lord, we delight and praise you, knowing that truth. And we do pray that we would use that knowledge for our good, for our journey in this life. Lord, as we, your confessing people, do run the race, or seek to run the race that you have set before us, Lord, this race which leads to glory. And so we ask you to bless also the preaching of your word this afternoon as it goes forth. Bless those of us who are present physically, and bless all who are listening online as well. Lord, we pray that it may be indeed a word of power and of your Holy Spirit, that it may be a word in due season, even for many. Oh Lord, at this time we face many trials and challenges. We face the stresses of COVID-19 continuing and all the restrictions and the headaches that are caused from it. And Lord, we indeed, our knees grow weak and our hands hang down in our hearts so often as well. Lord, there can be discouragement and disappointment. But Lord, help us to remember the truths of your word, that you truly care for us. And help us, as your word instructs us as well as we have read, to lay aside what entangles us and sin, and to run the race with endurance, looking to our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we thank you so much for him, for the race that he ran, that he was willing to begin it, and that he was willing to endure it, to be obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. We thank you that he was successful, that he was victorious, so that we also may run after him all the way to glory. Lord, we pray that you would forgive all of our many sins on this journey. And Lord, we thank you for the confidence that those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus do have their sins forgiven. And Lord, we pray also for the unbelieving in the congregation and community as well, that as they may hear this word too, that it would be a seed planted in them, that it would be used for their conversion as well, that they would finally turn and look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your electing love, your power of your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to work more. Lord, we commend to you all the needs of the congregation, not only the spiritual needs in preparation for eternity, but also for various outward needs as well. Lord, we pray for Pastor Koopman, bless his ministry this day in Black Falls, and provide for that vacant congregation as well. Lord, we commend to you Nico and his surgery this past Monday, which could go well, and we pray that for your continued healing of him. We commend to you Christine Trass with her oncology appointment this past week as well, and the decisions which were made, and help her to also find her encouragement in you, O God, who cares also for her. Help her as she goes on this new journey in life. Be near to her and bless these treatments to her. Pray for Carrie Walden as well and his continuing chemo treatments. Encourage him and help him to continue to look to you, the Lord, his God, and bless and heal him. Pray also for Gertrude Van Veen and continuing in the hospital. Lord, as she grows weaker, we pray that you would grow stronger in her life and bless her testimony, her talking with others. And Lord, we do pray that you would indeed bless her as she prepares to meet you. Pray for Alita Hansma. We thank you for her 70th birthday coming up. We pray, the Lord willing, and grant her another blessed year, we ask. Lord, we commend to you also the needs or the events of this week as well. We pray that you would bless the young people's gathering this evening, that your spirit would also be there, and that you would bless the fellowship among each of the young people, that good relationships would be built, and also that your word would be a blessing. Pray the same for catechism and class on Tuesday and the youth meeting on Tuesday, and also for the ladies' Bible study on Tuesday and the fellowship on Thursday. We ask you to bless the prayer meeting as well on Wednesday and grant increasing interest for this important occasion as the congregation casts their cares on you and lifts one another up. We thank you for the blessing to be able to do this free from persecution. We pray as well for various mission organizations at this time as well, and we pray for the Redemption Prison Ministry dinner at home this coming weekend, and we pray for the preparations for that, and that you would continue to provide also financially for this important cause. Lord, we commend to you as well the Chilliwack Pro-Life Ministry, which their collection is for this day. Bless the good that they do. Bless them as they are a voice in our community for the unborn. And we do pray for further successes to be made by them and pro-life groups in general across our nation and across the world. We lift up unto you the United States and their important election this week. We pray for your guidance in that. We commend to you also their Supreme Court with the new justice, and we pray that you would enable each justice to govern and to decide cases based on the principles of your word. Lord, we pray that you would also bless us here in BC as we believe the final tallies for the provincial election will come in, and we commend to you our government, or our new government. We ask you to help them also to govern wisely, and we pray that you would work in our governing leaders provincially and locally as well as federally. Pray that for them too you would work repentance, and they too may look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we live in these times of ungodliness and sin and darkness, we pray that you would motivate us to and remind us to be a bright and shining light and witness to those around us. Keep us from bitterness and from murmuring and complaining, but rather help us to be a joy in one another's darkness. Lord, we do pray that you would bless our neighbors and those in our workplaces in these times, that the soil may be prepared by you for the word of the gospel. Lord, we do commend to you again this message this afternoon. Help us in preaching and also in listening. We pray that it would be a blessed hour together, and grant us a safe rest of the day and a blessed week ahead. We pray all of these things, looking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue our worship this afternoon with singing Psalter 202, all the verses. Psalter 202, all the verses. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, when was the last time that any of us have run an official race, an official foot race? For many of us, it may have been a long time since we have done that, perhaps going all the way back to our grade school days, and now we might have to admit that we are honestly quite out of shape. To do well in a foot race, you need to be in shape, and you need to do all that you can, including not wearing something that is heavy, and you need to be disciplined to persevere, especially for the long races. Well, Christians, believers are actually in a race as well. A race all our believing life long. It is not a foot race, but a faith race. It is the Christian race. It is the race of the calling to live Christianly to the end. Not that we compete with each other, but it is called a race because it is like a marathon. It is long. It is the longest race that we will ever run in our lives. And like a marathon, it is challenging, since we live in a sinful world and we each have a sinful heart. And because of that, at times, even many times, we don't race well, like these Hebrews at the moment. Running the race well is not automatic. No, and so with God's help, we need to do all that we can to race well, which is what should be our great interest. That God would be glorified by us, that we would do ourselves good, and that we would be a good witness to others in this sinful world. Well, for that, to race better, we need, for one thing, to study God's Word. And so let's do that this afternoon with His help. And our text is Hebrews 12, the verses 1 and 2. I'll just read those quickly. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We'll call this message an exhortation to race well, an exhortation to race well. And our points will just follow the text, and there are several parts in this text. First, it says, since we are surrounded by witnesses. Secondly, lay aside and run with endurance. And thirdly, looking unto Jesus. Well, to begin, our text and this chapter begin with the word "therefore." And that implies that what came before that, the context, is important. And so what is the context? Well, as we know, this epistle to the Hebrews was written to the early New Testament Jewish or Hebrew Christians. And they were no longer practicing the old ceremonial religion, but rightly embraced the teachings of the apostles and how they were to live now as confessing believers in the Lord Jesus, who they recognized as the long-promised Messiah and Savior. However, those who did not recognize or believe that continued in their old ceremonial religion. And so there was enmity. The Christians were looked down on and ridiculed and even persecuted. They experienced calls to deny Jesus and go back to their old religion for the sake of the ceremonies, and hence deny Jesus. They experienced fears of persecution if they would not. And in all of this, they faced great pressure to comply and to essentially forsake Jesus in order to have an easier life. Well, the author to the Hebrews, though, inspired by the Holy Spirit, warned them against that and reconfirmed that Jesus was the Messiah, and that faith in Jesus, demonstrated by obedience in this new way, though it could be difficult at times, was the right way. For most of the book, he argued that Jesus is the greater high priest, greater than any other high priest. He has come, and so the others are done away. And then to encourage them in their faith and their new Christian profession, their Christian race, in the face of all their difficulties, he gave a whole list of examples of Old Testament believers who had true faith and who ran their race of faith, and who ran despite being so far less privileged than these New Testament people were. They could only believe in the promise or promises of the coming Messiah who would accomplish redemption for them. But they didn't get to see the fulfillment of that. Yet they believed, and they raced well. In chapter 11, verse 13, we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them." And then also verse 39 says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, so its fulfillment in Christ's coming. God having provided something better for us, that they, their number, should not be made perfect or complete apart from us." These believed, and they ran the race of faith, even in the face of great difficulties. They endured, they persevered, they went to the end, and now they are in glory. And so therefore, the text is saying, therefore, let us race well too, this race of the Christian faith. Therefore, we also, it says, we who have the privilege now of being able to look back on the historical fact that Jesus came and died and rose again, and not just having to believe the promises and the prophecies and the types and the shadows that he would come. Therefore, we also, or we especially, should race well. Therefore, we also, and it goes on to say, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The imagery here is memorable. It is that of a Greek arena where sporting events were held. The participants, of course, were on the ground, and in the stands all around were the spectators. The participants then were surrounded by the spectators. We can also call the spectators the witnesses, as that is what they did. They witnessed. And this often included two parts, a passive and an active part. Passively, the witnesses observed the participants. But actively, many of them also encouraged the participants. They witnessed to them. And that is actually what this Greek word especially refers to. They witnessed to them. They shouted to them. They cheered them on. Maybe they held up big signs. They witnessed to them to encourage them to keep going, to keep trying their best, to keep racing well, to compete well in whatever the event was. Well, these Hebrew Christians were now being exhorted to think of themselves as in an arena and surrounded by many witnesses, a great crowd. It says, so great a cloud of witnesses. And they were to think that these witnesses were all the Old Testament believers who have run the race before them. And they were to think of these witnesses as witnessing, shouting to them. As chapter 11, verse 4 says of Abel, he being dead, still speaks, still shouts. Their Old Testament brothers and sisters in the faith were shouting by the testimony, their testimonies, that it is worth it. Keep going in the way of faith and obedience. Keep going well. God is faithful. Race well. Others have suffered before you. Keep going. Race well. And believers today and here, this so great a cloud of witnesses still speaks today. In fact, this crowd has become even larger. It is true, people passively witness our lives all the time. They observe us, and that in itself should be motivation to race well. But it is also and especially true that past and present believers witness to us by their example and testimony, especially of God's faithfulness. The author to the Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this to persuade those Christians to race well. And this should persuade us as well, and persuade us more to not only be on the race, but to race well, to progress well, to run well, all the way to the end. This is also why reading these Old Testament stories are helpful, and the New Testament ones too, and also the stories of Christians who have lived since, to persuade us again and again to race well, even when the going gets tough, when the trials and the temptations come. But now, how do we do this? What do we have to seek to do to race well? To race the marathon of the Christian life well? And to race it in a way which is for God's glory and our good and as a positive and a persuading witness to others? Well, this brings us to our second point, to lay aside and run with endurance. The text says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. First of all, it says, let us lay aside every weight. You see, in an official race today, say at the Olympics, an athlete literally puts off weight in order to race well. He or she puts off physical weight, losing a few pounds of body mass. But at the time of the race, the athlete also puts off weight by dressing down to just lightweight sportswear. You don't see any Olympic runners wear heavy jeans or a heavy coat. No, that would slow them down. That would hinder them. That would not enable them to perform well. And the idea is that likewise, we must put off as much as we can that hinders us from racing well. And what are some of these things? Well, just like these Hebrew Christians couldn't necessarily keep the taunts and persecutions from happening, we also can't necessarily lay aside some of our circumstances or trials. It would be nice if we could, but God has ordained them for our good and for our progress. Those are simply part of the race. Suffering is part of the race. However, the things that can be laid aside that hinder us are then what is being referred to here. But notice that nothing specific is mentioned. It is just a general statement. Everything or all things of weight. And this generalness is realistic, because these weights can be different from one person to the next. And so it really requires us to examine our own lives closely to see what practical things are hindering or distracting our ability and focus to live Christianly well. Obviously, sinful things can hinder us, and that is what the next phrase talks about. But there can also be good things, things that are not sinful but good in themselves. They can be fine and in moderation, but as the saying goes, sometimes too much of a good thing is not good. And so these things can maybe be too much social media, too much work or too much play, too many commitments, associations, activities, interests. Too much of a good thing can hinder our Christianity. We don't have to throw all these out, although sometimes that might be best for us. But we need to keep them from being a weight, a distraction, a hindrance, a discouragement, a stress. Throw them out or lower our commitment to them so they no longer distract. A good question to ask ourselves is this, or my level of commitment to this, a help or a hindrance? Another question is our level of commitment to them hindering our commitment to things like our daily devotions, daily Bible reading, daily prayer, focused church attendance, family worship, Christian fellowship, and being a light in the world? Other things that can weigh us down might even be simply the time we go to bed at night, or the expectations that we have for ourselves, or for each day, or for others, or being bothered too much of things we cannot change, or thinking too much about something that results in undue stress or discouragement, or having the distorted thinking that a perfect world on this sinful earth is possible. Congregation, what weighs you down? The call is to lay aside every weight when it is possible. Make ourselves lighter and freer to race well. And keep doing that. Moving on, the text also says to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares. Here, sin is emphasized. Sin also hinders, but it also ensnares or trips. It makes one fall to the ground, just like wearing a long garment in a race could trip someone. As someone said, weights will slow us down. Sin can bring us down. And so we need to be vigilant, very careful, on guard against sin in our lives, currently and in the future, and get rid of them immediately. Repent of them immediately and prayerfully and confessing them to God. Think of David and how sin so easily tripped him up. Sin does not help us in our race, even though it can make us think that it will. Sin is deceptive. It can trip us. It can damage us. It can rob us of true joy. It can cause unnecessary grief and potentially a host of other problems as well. It especially robs our good and gracious God of his praise by us. And we give him rebellion instead, which thought should convict us over again and cause sorrow of heart. Think of what you are doing when you sin. We need to be on guard for and fight against sin. But we notice that the text specifies the sin. So this can mean whatever sin that you might struggle with from time to time. It can mean a specific sin, but it can also mean every sin, as we should view every sin as the sin of this, the sin of that. It could be anger, it could be lust, it could be covetousness, bitterness, impatience, discontentment, an unwillingness to suffer and obey. It could be pride, which also produces all those other sins, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, or having a sense of entitlement. It could also be what we call unbelief, not fully believing the word and promises of God as true and worthy to be embraced with our whole heart and lives, which in the context seems to be what the Hebrew Christians were particularly struggling with at the time. And so, what things or sins do you struggle with from time to time? Let us watch ourselves and lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and keep doing that. Well, that was all the negative manner of how to race. But next we have the positive manner. The text says, and let us run with endurance. Let us run. We are not to go backwards. We are not to get tripped up. We are not to go at a turtle's or a snail's pace, but we are to run. And that is a good word, because running requires effort, requires energy. We are to put effort and energy and work in this race. We have to be willing to put some sweat in it. And running a long race especially requires endurance. Endurance is really the ability to suffer something patiently. And for that, we need to maintain discipline and drive and determination and focus. And so we don't only need to get rid of things that weigh us down or could trip us, like sin, but in order to race well, living the Christian life well, doing what is right, mile after mile, year after year, we need to be willing to endure, to persevere, to suffer what comes patiently when the temptations or persecutions or stresses come, maintaining discipline and drive and determination and focus. That is how to race well, for God's glory, our good, and the good of others, by running with endurance. And that is what the Hebrew Christians needed to do while they faced the taunts and the persecutions of others. And that is what we need to do and should be willing to do, because this race, though very difficult at times, has a very blessed destination. It is a privilege to be on this race. And so let us perform well. By God's grace alone, we have been taken out of the broad racetrack and put on this narrow racetrack, a racetrack which leads to glory and not to hell, that leads to Jesus himself and not to eternal misery. And God has not only put us in this race by his grace, but he has also set before us or determined for us the course of this race for us in his wisdom. And that is good to remember and necessary to trust in difficult times. We need to trust his wisdom in setting the course. And so let us seek with all our might and with a willing, thankful, and trusting heart to do the words of our text, and to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But you say, well, that is easier said than done. And indeed, that is so. It is indeed a challenging calling. But thankfully, our salvation doesn't depend on a perfectly run race. But how can we do these things well and better? It is by looking to the one who has run the perfect race. It is by looking unto Jesus. And that brings us to our third point, looking unto Jesus. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The idea here is to focus on what is awaiting at the end of the race. To keep that focus in order to not be distracted or tripped up, and to endure. For an athlete, the prize, a trophy, is what is waiting. For the Christian, it is Jesus. Not that we are saved by our running, but he is waiting at the end for us. We must focus on him. Just think of a race for little kids. And imagine that each kid has a parent standing at the finish line. We know kids. Kids can be so easily distracted. Who knows, some might be inclined to run to the left or to the right, or who knows, even turn around and go back again. But knowing that their mom or their dad are standing at the end, seeing them, hearing them, they focus on them, and they joyfully skip along to the embrace of their parent. We must focus and skip along, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And what does that mean? Well, at first glance, that double title might seem a little confusing, because we normally speak of the Holy Spirit as the author of faith. But here Jesus is called the author and the finisher. So what does that mean? Well, there are different views on this. One is that although the Holy Spirit works faith, Jesus can still be called the author or originator, since he, along with the Father, sends out the Holy Spirit to work that faith in the hearts of sinners. Likewise, it can be said that he is the finisher or perfecter. Yes, he by his Spirit not only increases and purifies our faith, but will one day finish or perfect it and us. He will complete the good work that he has began in us. And then we will see and dwell with the object of our faith forever in glory. However, another view is to think of it this way. If there were no salvation, there could be no saving faith. If Jesus didn't begin the accomplishment and finish the accomplishment of salvation or redemption, there could be no saving faith. But since he began and finished our redemption, we can say that he is therefore the author and finisher of our faith too. For either view, he is indeed the author and finisher of our faith, because he endured patiently and perseveringly, suffered in his race all the way to the cross and the cross itself. Here, where it mentions the cross, that encapsulates all that he suffered, and especially the agony of the cross. This included the hostility of sinners, verse 3, and the hostility from Satan, as well as the wrath of his Father. And this was all we know in order to redeem his bride, which was his joy, which was what was on his mind, which was what was set before him. There was joy in anticipating his resurrection, yes, his ascension, yes, but there was surely this joy as well. And it is such an amazing joy. He is our joy. And we were and are his joy. You were his joy, believer. And you still are. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Also despising the shame. He didn't let it bother him. He ignored it. It meant little to him in comparison to the joy that was set before him. And having endured the cross, including dying on the cross, he victoriously resurrected and ascended and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He began and finished his race. He began and finished his great work of redemption, and now applies it too by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is who we must look to in the Christian race and be focused on to race well, to race Christianly, to race with endurance, to run with endurance. Look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to him who endured the cross. Look to him who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, look to him as an example of enduring. He despised the shame, and he focused on the joy ahead. Look to him for motivation. He endured the cross, the shame, the hostility of people and of Satan, and especially his Father's wrath. Why? For a sinner like you and me. Look to him also for hope and joy and strength, even in trials, knowing and believing that your future is certain because of him. You can even look to him for help, knowing that he is able to help, being seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus must be our focus. How do we lay aside every weight? By looking to Jesus. How do we lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us? By looking to Jesus. How do we run with endurance the race that is set before us? By looking to Jesus. Now we have looked to Jesus already when we first believed and entered the race by grace alone. But now we not only need to keep running, but keep looking. Not too much of the things around us or behind us, are in front of us, but on Jesus. Have eyes for Jesus. And look to Him not only when you run, but when you can't run as well. When you do get weighed down and you get hindered. When you do get ensnared by sin and trip and fall. And when you can no longer endure at all, it seems, or run well at all. Perhaps you've slowed to a crawl. You've fallen and even gone backwards. You can still look to Him. You must, for fresh forgiveness and renewed strength. Look to Him every day. Look to Him in the morning as you anticipate the day. Look to Him in the evening with all the failures of the day. Look to Him in the afternoon with all the struggles of the day. And run again. Live Christianly. Race well. For God's glory, our own good, and the blessing of others. But in closing, congregation, here and online as well, the question isn't only, are you looking? But it is also, have you ever looked to Jesus? Have you ever seen your need for that? Your need to repent from your sins and to turn to and look to and believe on Jesus as your only hope? Which racetrack are you on? The broad one which leads to destruction, or the narrow one which leads to life? If you are not repentant, and if you are not believing, looking to Jesus in faith for salvation, you are on the wrong racetrack, and you are living in sin, and you are not right with God. You are living a life really of ungrateful rebellion, which it is, and which would grieve and convict you, since it is lived in response to receiving so many blessings from God. And you must repent of that, and from that, and confess that, and turn to and look to the Lord Jesus in faith, and follow Him, trusting in Him and His blessed work on the cross for salvation, which is your only hope. Yes, cry out to God, even for help to do that, to be reconciled to God, to be on the right racetrack that leads to life, to repent and to look to Jesus. You know, one day everyone will look to Jesus and bow to Him, though in a different sense, of course, and in vain, because then it will be too late, either at their death or at His return. Philippians 2, verse 9 says, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I urge you to not be too late, but make today a day of salvation. I think of the Israelites in the wilderness who were dying after being bitten by serpents. They were called to turn their heads and look at the brazen serpent, to look at it on the pole. And they did, and they were healed and saved from their affliction and from death. And in John 3, verse 14, Jesus, He said to Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him, whoever looks to Him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, praise be to God for providing a Jesus on the cross, for providing salvation. And praise be to Him if we do or have repented and look to Jesus, because we know it is only by His grace and His electing love, by the power of His Holy Spirit. And praise be to Him, because then we enter the best race ever that leads to the best destination ever and to the best person ever. And all of us who are on this blessed race, but often difficult race, let us with humble and grateful hearts daily do the words of our text with God's help, and lay aside every weight and every sin, and run this race with endurance, looking to Jesus. Amen. Psalter 202, all the verses. Psalter 202, all the verses.